As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Governor Newell said a couple trans athletes, well, I think those are boys who identify as girls, wanting to beat girls in girls' sports. Well, if one young woman is in jeopardy, one, that's enough for us to be standing up here. One, no boy will be undressing in a girl's locker room. No boy will be walking in a woman's restroom. And no boy, when we're finished with this, will be beating young girls in sports. These young women have, many of them have trained, what, since you were in elementary school for your sport? Riley, when did you start swimming?
4 years old.
They have trained their entire lives. Some of them have lost scholarships. They have lost regionals. They have lost state because of boys. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's two. I don't care if it's 100. It's going to stop, and it's going to stop in every single state.
You listening to Attorney General Pam Bondi there and be very, very forward with what the intent is, what the purpose is of what the Trump administration is implementing right now, which is if it affects one girl, that's enough for the Donald Trump administration to go after and say, if it's not right, you know, you hear this as an argument from the left sometime, like how much does it even affect? I'm watching right now as the IHSA in the state of Illinois is putting their hand up to the Trump administration and saying, no, we're going to the state legislature and everybody's going to allow in the state of Illinois transgender athletes to compete against girls. And I read an article that was saying like it was 3 in 2023. It was 4 in 2024 transgender athletes that were competing. How many is too many? Well, obviously, for the Trump administration, one is enough to defend, and I applaud that significantly. Let's get to our guest, Mae Mailman, with us, the Deputy Assistant to the President of the United States and Senior Policy Strategist. You can follow her on X at Mae Mailman. Mae, thank you for being here with us today. It's an honor to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Of course. I want to give you the opportunity to speak on behalf of this lawsuit from the Department of Justice against Maine and their unwillingness to abide by the order put in place by the president when it comes to Title IX. What can you tell us about the intent of the Department of Justice?
Yeah, well, this is a monumental lawsuit. It's first of its kind because no school has ever lost money from the federal government due to a violation of Title IX. Title IX is a law that says if you're going to take federal money for your education program, then you have to provide equal opportunities for women. This was a necessary law in 1972 where women couldn't have certain majors. They couldn't participate in most sports. They didn't have access to some facilities where they would only have men's bathrooms in the science wing of the university. So, you know, you've got to have equal opportunities for women. And of course, now the left is taking those opportunities exactly away from women and saying, you don't have your bathrooms anymore. You don't have your sports anymore. And so schools usually comply when the federal government comes and knocks on your door and says, hey, you need to give women equal opportunities, but Maine blatantly has refused to. We've asked multiple times. And so the next step is we are here in federal court. We are asking the court to enforce Title IX and one. We're asking for an injunction that Maine stop, that they give the titles back to the women. And then we're seeking money damages in the past, of past money that's been given to Maine. And then, of course, this would affect all their future money to their schools as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smart move, another smart move by the Trump administration to utilize what they have at their fingertips to pressure these states to follow what has been ordered, to make sure that they are complying and protecting these girls. I love how in that clip that I played right before we brought you on, Pam Bondi turns around and looks at Riley Gaines and said, "When did you start swimming?" She said, "Four." These young girls spend their entire lives preparing for the opportunity to compete at a high level. And you know what? I know middle schoolers. I'm a coach for girls volleyball. My 12-year-old daughter plays volleyball and she works really hard at it. I cannot imagine in 4 years she's in the middle of her high school career and she's having to face a biological male and taking away her opportunity to shine in fair competition. Why is this so hard for the left to understand?
It is pure Trump derangement syndrome, and it's really sad to see, because you saw this at the State of the Union where President Trump would say something like, you know, "Isn't it terrible that Laken Riley is dead, that Jocelyn Nungare is dead?" And not even with a policy angle to it, just grieving. And the left couldn't even do that. And that's the same thing that it is here, that wherever Trump is, they have to pick the opposite side. And the thing is, it's not a game. It's not funny anymore. Women are being set back, because if men can just assert that they are women and take women's privacy away, take their opportunity away, take their safety away, this is happening in sports, this is happening in jails, this is happening in women's domestic abuse shelters, then there is no such thing as women's rights anymore, because there are no such thing as women anymore. And the hashtag resist, it gives people meaning in their life, I guess, but it is bad policy. It's not popular, and it is harmful. And I think people might think that this is some dying issue, and I do. I think that some of the transgender craziness is in the rearview mirror, but there are state governors like Janet Mills in Maine who are basically committing their women to an unequal status where they cannot have the same opportunities that men can have. So even if we think it's crazy, even if we think it's dying out, powerful, powerful people are committed to this. And so we in the Trump administration are not going to stand for that.
I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful for it as a former athlete myself, but also as somebody who's coaching and watching my young girls grow up. And I want them to just have a fair competition. You talked about TDS, and it is so important for people to remember that the opposition party right now, the first thing they look to do is see what Donald Trump says. What does he stand for? And then they just reflexively take the opposition, whatever that issue might be, so much so that in our lifetimes, we've seen the Democratic left completely turn inside out from who they used to be and who they used to advocate for and who they now advocate for, which is just the opposite of Trump. I mean, that's why I think we see a lot of center left people in the last election come out to support the president and his agenda. It's like the Democrat Party doesn't stand for anything other than not Trump.
It's exactly right. And I think if people were to listen to with an open mind to Trump's policies, they'd see that there's a range. There's something for everybody. Some of them are very conservative. Some of them are not traditionally conservative. And a lot of them are moderate. They're based on rational common sense. What do people think? And, because they're triggered by his posts on social media, it feels very triggering. And so then they have to take the opposite position. But if instead of being triggered by Truth Social, you would just listen to whether you think girls should be able to change without a male gazing at them, that does seem like a very reasonable position. But this entrenched worldview of the left, I mean, it's the same thing with deporting criminal gang members. All of a sudden, it's bad to deport criminal gang members. I mean, do you hear yourself, and they do, but they don't. And so over here, we know that leftism is really entrenched in America in a lot of our institutions, not just in governor's offices, but in universities, in Harvard University, in the media. And so we are committed to ensuring in law firms that our institutions can open their eyes and have common sense policies that are both complying with the law and that the American people deserve. And so, you know, these types of things, bigger, broader cultural changes, we think that that's very important. And we're going to keep fighting for it.
Well, it's wonderful to see the fight actually being taken to these lack of common sense positions that the Democrats are taking. You know, I'm thinking to myself about the big hubbub around the all-female crew that Jeff Bezos sent up in the air. And I'm like, do we acknowledge that they're all women? Like how do we have conversations in our cultural sense where we're defining and championing women when they do things that are alternative to history that, you know, a lot of these industries are very male-led? We can see over here on Monday that an all-women crew might be kind of cool for some people, but then in Maine, they're still saying that somehow or another, those women are now not the interested party in defending. We don't speak the same language. In the United Kingdom, they just had that court case that came through that defined biological sex as male or female. Is it possible that some sort of definition like that could ever be made formal here in the United States?
Yeah, so on day one, which is crazy to think that this was a day one executive order, but one of our first executive orders was defining male and female. And we did it in scientific terms, which is there are the large reproductive gamete and the small reproductive gamete. This is not science. This is not rocket science. This is pretty basic stuff. But it was an important thing for us to make clear on day one, because if you don't have the language, then you don't have anything. Congress is going to do its job, and they've proposed versions of this before.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Find that. There are several groups that are codifying men and women into state laws. So there are several states that now have laws that define male and female. And that's really important for school protections, public safety protections, and even just statistics. If you're looking at statistics and saying, how are girls doing as far as their test scores, for example, and the word girl has no meaning and it's boys and girls, and you don't know. What about crime statistics, these sorts of things? So there are states moving on that. It's something that the Congress is moving on, but the thing that's really holding people back, I think, is none of this is necessary. The reason that it's necessary is the courts. And we just have a bunch of crazy judges, some of whom, you know, are old like Reagan appointees, who this was a case that I litigated before I came into the federal government, where we were trying to say in sororities, a sorority bylaw says that it's for women, that new members have to be women. And this old 80-plus-year-old judge said that he was not sure what woman meant. So really the bureaucrats and the judges are the things. It's not the American people. The American people know. There are just some people who are blinding themselves to the truth.
Yeah, that's always my question. Do they really know when they're trying to deceive other people on the issue, or are they that dumb? I don't know. It's really hard to put it in a different way. May, thank you for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's an issue we're following closely here on the Annie Frye Show and want to continue to see, hopefully, a swift victory for the Department of Justice to make sure that Maine girls actually do have the opportunities they deserve and that they're not taken away by their governor who hates the president.
Thanks, Annie. We'll definitely keep you posted. And we're hopeful, even if we have some crazy district judge and don't get a good ruling at first, we feel very confident at the Supreme Court. We think the Supreme Court has basically already indicated when they struck down or allowed Biden's rule not to come into place where Biden tried to define women as men, and the Supreme Court 9-0 basically said we're not going to take this issue up. So we feel very confident in our chances, but we will keep you posted.
We appreciate it, Mae Mailman. Thank you for being here today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. She's the Deputy Assistant to the President of the United States and Senior Policy Strategist, Mae Mailman. You can follow her on X at that same name. Very cool to talk to her. And I will enjoy greatly when the Trump administration prevails over what is happening in Maine. And also, stay close, Illinois folks. The IHSA has made some statements on this. It really appears to me, I'm trying to pull this message up that I sent to you, Brad, a couple days ago, because I want to get, did you make a contact?
I am looking for a good contact, and I will reach out as soon as I got one.
Yeah, we want to make sure we get the right people. I don't know that the IHSA will come talk to us, but I'd like them to tell us no instead of not asking. You're seeing in the state of Illinois, let's see here, I'm going to pull up this article from mystateline.com. This is, what is this news outlet? It's a Bloomington, WTVO. The Illinois High School Administration, IHSA, has responded to demands from Republican lawmakers, saying it will keep its policy of letting transgender athletes compete in high school sports competitions, despite an executive order from President Trump. In March, 40 Illinois lawmakers sent a letter to the IHSA saying, quote, the federal government adopted policies under President Trump that clearly prohibit permitting biological men to compete against biological women in sports. Quote, it is our understanding that the IHSA has communicated prior to these orders, a policy that establishes a process for transgender students whose gender identity differs from their sex assigned at birth to seek eligibility for the opposite sex's sports. We are writing you to request that you provide a written response to the undersigned legislators detailing your intent to amend policy to comply with federal directives prohibiting athletes from participating in single-sex sports opposite of their sex assigned at birth. That was from the lawmakers. The local news outlet goes on to say on Tuesday, April 15th, the IHSA responded, quote, the Illinois Attorney General and more recently the Illinois Department of Human Rights have asserted to the IHSA that the Illinois Human Rights Act requires that transgender athletes be permitted to participate in events and programs aligning with the gender with which they identify. As a result, compliance with the president's executive order could place the IHSA out of compliance with the Illinois Human Rights Act and vice versa. IHSA Board President Dan Tully and IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson, who signed the letter, added, quote, the IHSA simply desires to comply with the law and takes no position on which of the foregoing is correct. Given the conflict described above, however, we are left in an untenable position. So essentially they said, the IHSA, we're just trying to do what we're told by the entities who are telling us, oh, but we're not picking the president. We're going to defy the president's order and go with the Illinois Human Rights Act. That's what they've said. So if your child is playing in an IHSA event, my son is, maybe I should sign him up for girls volleyball. Isn't it absurd? Isn't it mind blowing? Thank God the Trump administration is pushing back on this and hope to get their interest in what Illinois is doing very quickly. I feel like if Donald Trump had a spare minute, he'd like to give it to smacking J.B. Pritzker around. That just kind of feels like a hunch that I have. All right, let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins back in studio with us here in a minute. Easter is upon us this Sunday. It's Good Friday today. We want to know if you're going to dye eggs this weekend. YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You'll see there's a live chat there where the comments traditionally are, at least while we're broadcasting live still. Let us know, yes or no. Dying eggs, we'd like to have your thoughts on that. And your next questions in the YouTube live chat. We'll be right back.